All right, welcome to the 50th episode of the Parents Initiative Podcast. This is your host, Leo Colon, and I have our co-host, Rebecca, with us.
Hey, 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 everyone.
We want to thank you for taking the time. We'll congratulate you for taking the time to join us on this episode. Yeah. You're making it a priority. You're saying that you want to move forward as a parent. You want to grow and become better. And that's what this podcast is all about. We're all about equipping, creating an awareness, and hoping that you can move forward as a parent every single day. So I am really excited. I can say we are really excited.
Yes.
About a guest that we have with us, Doug Wood, the real Doug Wood. He is the author of the best-selling book, Church Boy to Millionaire, and the host of the Real Doug Wood podcast. Doug is truly the real deal, and that is one of the main reasons why I respect him so much. I've known him for over 4 years, and I guess you could say we've known of him for a couple years, and then we officially met him. And throughout the last couple of years, I've heard him several times speak, and I just love the way that he is so real. And I don't know if you remember this, Doug, but we were on the cruise ship, I think it was last year, I went up to you and I said, I really appreciate how real you are. And that really means a lot to me because I look up to you in that way. So we like to consider him a friend, a mentor, a business partner. And we've asked him to join us on a special occasion for the 50th episode of the Parents Initiative podcast. Because we love the way that he walks in abundance, and he has made it a goal to also have his family walk together in abundance and teach his kids the importance of walking in abundance. So, Doug, if you could introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get on with the show.
What's up, friends? It's such an honor to be here, and I love fellow podcaster because you guys keep it real, and you make me better. In fact, I know we spent a lot of time together. We've all done a lot of traveling, helping other people grow and thrive. But it seems, like yesterday, you guys were just here at my house, here at Breakthrough Acres in Scottsdale, Arizona, a few months ago, and just living life and learning how to make a bigger impact in our communities, in our churches, in our families, and today I know in our children. And they're so important. And this is such a key topic. And, for Tia and I know a little over 10 years ago, we had to look around and say, we got to take personal responsibility for parenting our children. In the olden days, you guys probably remember, you just trusted everybody else. Like, oh, everyone parents the same, right? If Tommy's dad told you that's what's going down, you gotta honor Tommy's dad. Well, today Tommy's dad might not be loving the child the way that you would love your child, or teaching them, or just maybe he's depending on the school system or the church to raise up his child. And today, parenting, more importantly than ever before, is starting in the home, and it's starting with the mother and the father being fully present. And so I'm just thrilled to be here with you guys today.
Thank you, Doug. We appreciate you joining us for this episode. So
yeah, it's really exciting to have a friend that believes in other people so much that you give of your time, of your finances, of your wisdom, and you're not afraid to say, maybe I was wrong, or hey, let me help you to learn so you can grow and don't have to make the same mistakes as I did.
That's right.
I've been listening to your podcast since episode one, and one of the things that you talk about a lot is having an abundance mindset. Mm-hmm. I can't remember your daughter's name, but you had her on an episode.
Amaya? Or Caitlin. Yes.
Caitlin was with us a few episodes back.
Yeah.
And you had her on an interview, and I thought that was just amazing how, you guys were interacting and talking about things and what you're doing to equip them. So if you could, Doug, before we kind of get into that, when we're talking about just focusing on parenting and how to teach your kids abundance, I want our audience to know, how were you raised as a kid? And is this the abundance mindset is always something that you had from the jump?
Right. Well, yes and no. I'm very thankful for the way my parents raised me. In fact, I find myself actually loving and disciplining my children very similar to the way that I was. I grew up in a Christian home, and both my grandfathers are old school AG pastors. And, I was pretty much born on the second or the third pew. Of course, as you get older, you're being told what to do. You slip back to the last pew. But back in those days, I was like, uh-oh. Doug going to come to church. And, it's because sometimes we're, and I think during those times you're told things, and I was told to do a lot of things that I ought to, or I should do. And that worked for a season. And, you know, I'm making myself sound so old. My gosh, I'm 42. I don't feel that old. But, you know, I we've dealt with a lot of, you know, oh, a child is rebellious. Well, maybe they're rebellious because the communication style that you're speaking to them with is not working. And so they're rebelling against the way that you're coming or approaching the situation. And that's one of the biggest things. And also the reason my wife and I started our own online Christian school was because kids are not just going to be a part of the system anymore and do what you told them to do. They are going to buck. And I realize that the school system of today is often trying to train every child the same. Like, it's just come, it's like a herd of cattle. Come and move you through it to the next grade. And each child is individual. I'm a visual learner. My daughter is a sound learner. My other daughter has to read to comprehend. I read and I do not comprehend. So why are we communicating with every teen or every student the same? We have to go and meet them at their level, understand their love language, their strengths. Dare we even get an Enneagram today? I mean, we figure out who are we the way God made us, and we meet with each child the way that they're supposed to be met with. And, you know, that happened to me a lot as a child, but a lot of it I had to adopt on my own, because as I got older and out of high school, I realized that many of the ways I was raised was very good and very amazing. And I also had to realize that, okay, my parents were doing the best they could with what they knew, but that doesn't necessarily, that style of discipline or that style of teaching maybe won't get me far into the future. And so I'm going to have to let some of those beliefs or limiting beliefs, I should say, go.
Now, once again, I know I've heard all your podcasts, so I kind of feel like I know you very well. So you took that from, you know, your childhood into a business that you owned. And can you kind of just let up, because I want our people to know that, you know, I want them to see the process that's in place. So you had a childhood where you were raised in a Christian home, your granddad and your dad was a pastor.
Yep.
Where you had some things that were spoken into you.
That's right.
And I've heard like how that kind of, you took that into going into becoming an adult and a business owner. Can you kind of speak on that?
Yeah, because a lot of times we want to follow in our parents' footsteps. And so we compare our life to where our parent was at that stage of life. We're like, by this age, my dad owned his own business. What's wrong with me? By this age, you know, so-and-so had graduated from college, my dad or my grandpa, and I'm going to be the failure. So there's kids, we put these identities on ourselves, comparing to where our parents were at that time in life. Or as parents, we put identities on our children and expectations that was our dreams for them, but maybe it wasn't their dreams or God's dreams. And my dad did not do that. My dad owned very, very nice furniture stores in Oregon. And I left ministry school in 1999. And he said, Doug, you know, if you want to come home, I'll help you get you into the family business, but I want it to be your choice. That was huge. He got me into the family business. I started my own business with his help. I eventually was totally running it on my own. Lots of learning opportunities, but I found myself in comparison mode. Why is my business not as successful as my dad's was in his fifth year or his seventh year? And yeah, one, it could be the industry, but two, we all, you know, comparison is such a thief of truth and joy. And I found myself in, you know, 2010, extremely heavy, extremely stressed out, struggling financially. And I realized that I was trying to live in yesterday's prophecy or yesterday's dream, when what does tomorrow have? And I had to let some things go. And one of it was continuing on the third generation family business and saying, it's okay if it stops here. God, what does God have for Doug and Tia in the future? Not what does God have for continuing this family business, but it also, I will not even joke, it did help not having the pressure from my father to continue. And it would have been a completely different story, friends, if my mom had been putting pressure on, because I know us as parents, we do this to our kids, whether it be through sports, whether it be through the church they go to, whether it be where they've got to live or what kind of business they're in, or no, your uncle graduated from this college, I graduated from this college, you need to too. And we sit there and we should, and we ought on our children. And I think there's some ways that we can teach them and guide them and mold them without putting our dreams for them, you know, during those times.
So what was like your mind shift? Like, cause you hit a point of like, you know, you had to let go of the business and you went through a tough time financially. And but what is that? What was that shift that took place that started getting you to that place where you were walking in abundance?
My dad told me something, and you know, we've spoken about this. So I'm not speaking ill will of my father because I'm very thankful for the heritage I was given. But my dad told me when he got me into the furniture business, that Doug, you will always struggle in the furniture business. It's a very rewarding business at seasons, but you will also have seasons or years that you don't do well, and that you will, to a point, always deal with some type of a debt. And that was my dad's truth. And that was his experience. And what he didn't know is he was speaking that over me, to where we began to believe these thoughts and we believe these even lies. That was his truth. He was trying to prepare me for the worst. But in that, I always saw it as a limiting belief. So every time I came up against debt, I started believing debt was normal. I started believing if you can make over $100,000 owning a furniture store, that was a really good year. I started believing that giving 10% tithe was really good because nobody ever told me that it was okay to pay 12%. Just because the Bible said, see, the Bible gives us standards. I love that. But that's just standards of minimums. What about standards of abundance? And I believe leaders of today and parents of today and the influencers of tomorrow and today are setting their own standards. They're saying, no, average is not good enough. Why does it have to be just 10%? Will God allow me to give 11.5? Will he allow me to give me more? But you're like, well, I've never thought of it that way. Well, leaders set their own standards. Amateurs have other people set their standards for them. And I had to just accept some things when I started this process of going, I'm going to take what my grandfather spoke over me. I'm going to take what my father did well, and I'm going to take the fruits. But I'm also going to have to say, Doug, you're 35 years old. What does Doug and Tia stand for? Not what does Rick and Jeanette stand for 20 years ago.
Right. Amateurs set the standard, man. That's good stuff right there. Yep. Because I mean, you know, we're told what to do. We were raised and told what to do, and that's the way we are conditioned to think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just being straight up. I mean, that still to this day, I have to fight that. You know, and moving forward and saying, hey, I need to set the standard for my home. I need to set the standard for my family. I even obviously need to set the standard for myself. So you know that mind shift that took place. All right, so what is that season? You walked into a great season. Obviously, you're still in that great season, and I know you're walking in abundance. Like, what? Let's just go this direction, and then we'll go towards the kids and family and how you're instilling that. But, like, Doug, like, what do you do on a daily basis to make sure that you're walking in abundance? How you go about that?
Well, as I talk about very detailed in my book, Church Board a Millionaire, and by the way, some of you, I just said that you're listening to this right now and you're like, church boy, to what? Because somehow me talking about money right now is kind of rubbing you a little bit the wrong way. And Leo and Rebecca, I don't mean to spice up your audience here, but I'm going to say it again. I wrote a book. It's called Church Boy to Millionaire. Yeah. And just before y'all get weird on me, I did not leave the church, and you don't have to choose one or the other. I realized that I had a money problem, and it wasn't in my bank account. It was in my mind. And I had to start living my own standards. Like, I realized, I mean, Leo, I couldn't, the reason I always struggled financially is because I gave 10%, but I would go down to Taco Bell and I would ask for a water cup and I would put Sprite in it. Think about it. But you're like, God bless me, but I'm stealing $2 sodas from Taco Bell. You are stealing. When there's a cart corral outside of a grocery store and you're like, well, you look around, nobody's around, I'm just going to leave the cart right here. That is integrity. How you do one thing is how you do most things. And I realized I had to change some of my standards of the way I was living. And I don't even know where your question went, but bottom line is I had to like confront some old patterns of thinking. And a lot of them, and I'm not, this sounds like a parent bash. What I'm about to say is, you will never, well, you said it a second ago, Lee, you got to confront this stuff. Because right now I live here in Scottsdale, both of my parents live here. T and I are considering a second home in Texas, okay? Now I'm sitting here scratching my head going, what are my parents going to think if I'm not here half the year? Because they like kind of having us here and the grandkids. And so here I am, 42 years old, wondering what my parents are going to think, whether they're going to approve or disapprove. At some point, all of you out there listening to this, because I'm going to flip the switch here in a minute probably to talk about your kids. But for right now, some of you listening right now have mommy and daddy issues, and it's holding you up. Some of you have leadership issues. Well, I don't want this leader to think that, I don't want them to see me posting this stuff on Facebook because, yeah, I'm going to ask you, because why? Because you, at some point, have to grow up and say, whose life am I living? Am I living mine, or am I living my dad's or my uncle's or my pastor's? Or am I living mine, what God has for my future, not what he had for my past? And this is, as you can tell, you know, you're starting to get into my passion button. But until people start confronting their minds and their ways of thinking that, you know what, the truth that I was raised with was good, but it maybe served 1994. It maybe served 2007 season of being on staff at that place. But that type of communication or that type of leadership or that type of parenting won't work in 2021. You feel me?
No, completely. And I was pushing that button on purpose. I'm just waiting for it to, like.
I love it. Well, I always say, people's like, oh, don't push my buttons. I'm like, well, then why do you have buttons to push? You shouldn't be that fragile. But I do like you pushing my buttons today, because these are the buttons that are, these are the good buttons.
No, that's what I appreciate you so much, Doug. I mean, because you keep it real, man. And you're saying a lot of things that our audience may not like, but if they just take the time to kind of, you always say it, all right, eat the meat and spit out the bones.
That's right.
And you're saying some good quality stuff, and I appreciate that so much. So let me ask you this, okay? So now I wanted people to kind of walk through this with you, kind of know, because I don't want our audience to think that you always had not necessarily everything, but you understand what I'm saying. I mean, you're blessed, highly favored, and you had a fight to get there. So now you're at this good place in life, you know, you're doing well, very successful, and you have your kids. Mm-hmm. Now, I think one of the biggest mistakes that I see, obviously, is that when parents are in a season like you're in right now, that they just hand their kids everything and don't teach them responsibility, don't teach them how to take ownership, don't teach them how to be givers and to walk in abundance. Like, how do you and Tia, your wife, go about being intentional and teaching your kids abundance? And how do you, can you just walk us through some key things that you guys do, some things that you are, you know, intentional in training your kids and stuff like that?
I will, but I think I need to back up because, you know, I have kids in all ages right now. I have my two older girls who are 13 and 15 and a half, and that's a different life than my boy who's Phoenix, who's 3 and a half. I'll tell you what, you want to know where abundance starts? Is at Phoenix's age. Now, I want to be fair to everybody. You're going, well, that's Doug. What do I do now? I've got a sassy 13-year-old. Okay, we'll get to that. But I will tell you right now, the relationship is in the trust, the respect, and the abundance that I have with my older girls right now started because I dealt with a few issues and scenarios at 3 years old. And no, parents, it is not the terrible twos. Quit speaking death over your child. They are not terrible. So stop saying it's the terrible twos. Try it's the terrific twos, because you get to teach and you get to empower them. So it started. I'll never forget when my oldest daughter, Amaya, had her first and her last fit. We were in Target in 2006. And she wanted whatever the toy of the month of Target was there at that little aisle. I mean, those Target aisles are like the gotcha parents aisles, because they're just, Target creates those aisles to create, well, one, to create revenue and to create family fights. And it's not the 99-cent toy. It's the principle of them grabbing and saying, I want this.
Come on, it's good.
And it's, again, it wouldn't have mattered if it was a $20 toy. If they needed it and they were going there with a reward and there was something, I might buy it. But it's the act. It's the mindset. See, it's not the money in your bank account. It's your mindset. That's what the book is about. It has nothing to do with money. It has your mindset. So my children, Amaya wanted this toy. And I knew this was coming because I was warned that, oh, has your child started throwing fits yet? And I'm like, you have, and then what I wanted to say was like, you do on Facebook? Because your tantrum, your three-year-old tantrum is the same tantrum you all threw over the last couple of months. And don't get me wrong, whoever's listening right now, I've been reading some of your Facebooks. It's ugly. You're sitting there just yapping and complaining. And can anybody do anything right according to you? And so then you wonder why your child has this tantrum. But I got down, and first of all, anytime your child throws a tantrum, get on their level. Do not speak down to them. If you spoke down to them, 25 years ago, my grandpa used to speak down to me. It was authority. You honor your elders. It was a finger pointing down, right? And you kind of, it's either yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, sir, until you get older and all of a sudden it's rebellion against my finger pointing. Well, what if that communication style isn't working? Okay. So I got down on Amaya's level. I looked her eyeball to eyeball and we talked about the way she was acting. And I also made it very clear that this will never, ever, ever happen again. And yes, I did embarrass her in that moment. I don't want to get into spanking and spare the rod, spoil the child, but you know what? Spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't use a rod, but you know what? Sometimes we have to go outside and have a little conversation in love.
Yep.
Not in anger, in love. And so I started at 2 years old. There was only one really bad fit. It was her first fit and last fit because I dealt with it in the moment. And by the way, while I'm on it, I don't count to my children. Some people are into the counting. I just feel that if you count, I've seen some parents go, 1, 2, 2 3/4. Don't make me get to 3. Okay, I'm really scared now because you're still on 2.795.
I'm gonna go smack up in the other aisle.
Right. It's just like, just your yes be yes and your no means no. So all that to say, abundance started dealing with the root of the issue in a respectful, loving way at a young age, to where as they get older now, it's bigger discussions over, Papa, I dropped my iPhone. It's got a crack in it. Well, I'm so sorry. And they know I can pay for it. But I would be robbing them of an experience to just go and bail them out. Because when they're 22, they're going to still want that same bailout. You feel me?
I feel you completely. And I love that because, I mean, you can just go fix it if you wanted to. But
yep.
So how do you make them like – find a way to earn the way to fix it, or do you give them allowance? How does that work in your home?
No, again, and I think a lot of these is personality styles and what's going on with the child. You know, I don't consider myself a professional. I have some things I think that have worked. But, you know, I got one daughter who's a spender and one who's a saver. I'm actually a spender by default. And I just always told my kids, I just figured out I had a spending problem. So I figured out I just need to make more money than I spend. So, you know, so you don't always have to deal with the root of the issue. If you got a spending problem, just make sure you make a lot of money. Okay. Outspend, out earn what you make or out earn what you spend. But so my oldest daughter, you know, she used to work down here at the deli and I had her getting a job at 13. My other daughter, she's always making a little something. But she'll create money instantly. Hey, it's funny because it comes out of nowhere. Like, hey, Papa, want me to wash your car? I'll wash your car for $10. I'm like, what do you want to buy? Because it's like instant. But you know what I love is that she's asking to earn money, even if she can't hold on to it. Mm-hmm. The other one is, you know, selling stuff all over the internet and very entrepreneurial and things like that. But no, you know, I will say, yeah, we probably cross the line and give too much once in a while. But we love to give experiences and learning abilities versus stuff. And so we kind of save bigger gifts for Christmases or birthdays. But on a day-to-day basis, the other day, my oldest daughter was like, hey, Papa, you want to go to Dutch Bros? I'm like, I'd like it, but I don't need it. And she goes, I'll buy. And I'm like, well, then let's go. So she knows I can pay for it. And a lot of times she can butter me up and give me that look like, you know, I'm going to take her to Dutch Bros because I want that 30 minutes with her. But other times if she wants it more and I make her money, put her money where her mouth is because I want my kids to respect and know the value of a dollar. It's so important they know that.
Oh, and I think the cool thing is that you also teach them the value of work ethic, you know, and it's not something that you obviously hasn't just taught them, but you also live out and they see how hard you work and they also see how hard you play, you know, and you bring them in those experiences because not only, you know, let's be real. I mean, not only in some ways, the seasons of hard work, they also have to sacrifice as well too.
That's right. And to that point, you know, we hung out with you guys last year on the Massive Momentum Tour. And my girls traveled the whole last summer for 3 months with us on tour. And they were setting up the events. They were selling the merchandise. Don't get me wrong. I paid them per event. And they did not have to go on the tour.
Right.
At that age, I did give them a choice to kind of fly in and fly out or whatever. And they stayed in the game. And they saw, you know, because sometimes all of you listeners right now, your kids don't see the sacrifice that you put in. Because sometimes, you know, for a lot of you, I know you work, you know, like a day job to where you leave the house and you come home. So they don't see the grind that you're putting in. They didn't, you know, you can see the sign, you know, I have a sign right here behind me that's long nights, rejections, you know, all the different stuff, you know, sacrifices, disciplines, criticism, doubts. Our kids don't always get to see this stuff. And that was my fear of my children not being able to see how hard we've worked for where they are. And it's important that you bring them in. You know, we like to have family meetings and we bring them into our next goal or our next project. Here's what mom and dad are doing. Here's where we're going. It's going to take some discipline on the whole family's part. But if we hit this goal or we hit this reward or Papa gets this book done or after the Massive Momentum Tour, we're going to do this. So it's, we're going to work hard. Then we're going to play. We're going to work hard. They just don't get to play all the time. They need to see, you know, this camera in front of my face sometimes. You know, like a second ago, I sent a text out and I said, I need water. I've been on Zooms all day. And you know, here comes Amaya in here bringing me water, but she sees me what I'm doing. And I don't mind her interrupting me because they should see their parents working.
Yeah. And I want to, you know, speak to being there in your home and around your kids. They are, you know, so respectful and loving to everybody, not just you and not just when someone's doing something for them. They don't mind working behind the scenes. They don't mind doing the dirty work and not expecting anything in return. And I mean, I have connected with your girls and they are always over the top kind and just loving and giving.
Thank you.
You know, and I think, Doug, I mean, like legit, like this episode really necessarily hasn't been so much about how to parent your kids in this way, but really focusing on ourselves as parents.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like when you look at the whole theme of this, it really, abundance begins with us.
Yeah.
As parents, it begins with us. And I think it's important that our kids see us obviously live it out. And then we also could be at that place where we could also teach them as well to be in abundance and walk in abundance.
Well, ultimately, because kids do what we do.
Yeah. This is a, I'm glad you noticed that because sometimes I feel like I lack skills or packaging up my thought processes. But one thing I've, that's a value of our home, Wood Family value, is to take personal responsibility and admit when you're wrong. And the other day I had to do that. Not that I had to, but it was so hard. I was wrong on a conversation I was having with my two older girls. And I literally had to look at them and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And that's a mindset. See, I gave them permission to, it's okay to admit when you're wrong. And I think that's half what's wrong with the world right now is either the blaming somebody. And I think that's a gift that we can all give our children is to take personal responsibility, admit when you're wrong. It opens the door for more conversations. Right now, what I'm scared with is I can't keep up with all the internet and the social media stuff. there's a lot of gurus. One of the teachers at my school, Mindy, she can come in here and she educates me on all the apps and what the kids are doing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's blowing my mind enough to where the average parent is, no, I need to button them down. They cannot be on the internet till they're 22. Yeah, that'll work real well. It's kind of like when your parents told you not to drink alcohol in high school. Yeah, now y'all are a bunch of drunks. but you want to do what you're told not to, but I want my kids to learn balance in it. But us as parents, we're not going to do this right. But we have to stay in communication and relationship with our children and learn together. We got to go through Corona together. We have to experience some of the stuff that's going on in our world together and figure this out together versus the parent needing to have all the answers. And, you know, that just doesn't work.
Nope. And you hit it on, I mean, you just said it again, just relationship, you know? And when you have that good relationship and that foundation with your kids that you can communicate with them, then they're more open to be taught abundance.
Right.
They're more open to be taught ownership because they see you walking it out.
They're open to constructive criticism and correction. They receive it well because they know it's coming from a place of love.
That's right.
So, Doug, you got to tell us about your book. Tell our audience what this is about, because I know people are still wondering and asking. I love it. I got it on my shelf over there. I read it. I highlighted it. It's a great book. She has the Audible.
Which is a little bit twisted version because it's got extra stuff.
It does, huh?
Yeah.
They're different.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're different experiences.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, listeners, make sure nobody tells you can't do anything or that you're not a writer or that you're whatever and all this different crap that the world feeds you or our own limiting beliefs feeds us. But I just feel like I had a strong message. And, you know, for the longest time, I battled myself and overcoming my own thought processes and the ways that I was raised, good, bad, you know, everywhere in between. And I realized I needed to write about it. And what happens is when I would have more conversations in private, I would find there's like this silent Me Too movement. Like you love God, but you know, you have a relationship with Christ, but you think your church is kind of weird on some issues too. Yeah. Yeah. And so what happens is we want to throw the church out with, you know, sometimes we want to throw parts of our church out with church water. Here's what it is. We got to make sure we don't throw Jesus out with the church water. And I found myself starting to grow bitter in some areas. Mm-hmm. And because I had stepped on the other side of the cross. And I feel like, you know, on the other side of the resurrection is life and abundance. And I feel like for so many years, I was being given a message of I'm not enough. Come to the cross, but not through the cross, you know? I just battled. And what happens is Church Point of Millionaire was written out of a pure and a healthy heart. I went to Israel, I got some healing in some areas, and I felt like I had a message for the everyday person, the person who doesn't read books. That's why I recorded it, Rebecca, so I could read it to you. If you pick up the hardback book, it does have emojis in it. It has a me talking like this. I say, dude, what's up? I'm fist bumping stuff. There's some inappropriate stories in there for people that like inappropriate stories. But it really is about mindset and taking your own power back, partnering with God versus partnering with maybe your dad's dream 20 years ago or your pastor's dream. What does God have for you in the future? And realizing that you don't have to leave. You don't have to be a Christian and be broke, for one. God can do more with your money than he can without it. Because, you know, and that money is not evil. No, maybe the love of money is, but money itself is not evil. And in fact, if it was evil, I don't think your church would be giving you 4.5 ways to give every Sunday. You can text it. You can email it. You can pass the plate. You can give it in the back. You can, right? Money couldn't be that bad if our church is and God is asking for it. So I wrote a book to help people start thinking outside the box. And also, I mean, it's a little bit about that. It's 25 independent chapters of pure raw truths about the money mindset and leadership and how to parent kids is one chapter. One of my favorite chapters is what you eat in private, you wear in public. Like how much our walk with God is connected to our physical well-being. And so anyway, it's fun. You can pick it up on Amazon or at kickfearintheface.com. And actually, if you order it on kickfearintheface.com, that comes out of my Scottsdale shipping center. Use promo code free ship, and I will actually sign that book. If you order it at kickfearintheface.com, promo code free ship, you will get free shipping, and I'll make sure I sign it personally to whoever orders it. So yes.
We'll make sure we put that in the show notes as well. And Doug, can you talk about your online school?
Yeah, I can. Well, again, I spent a lot of money sending my kids to the best private Christian school in both cities that I've lived in Portland, Oregon, and here in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I found that there's just still something missing. And maybe my kids are unique, although I don't think they're that unique. We're all God's highest form of creation. We are unique and wonderfully made. But I found that I felt like I was sending my kids off personally, Leo, to be programmed for a world that I don't think people know how to prepare for, or to learn about things that were relevant 20 years ago, but that are not relevant today. Just look in the last 6 months, how much our world has changed. But our education system today, the reason that we all have summers off, you know, is that so the kids could actually help farm their parents' fields 50, 60 years ago. That's why we have summers off today. So to this day, we don't go to school in the summer most places, because it was for farming, and so the kids could help farm years ago. So I just realized that we're raising kids in a futuristic. I want to meet kids where they're at, and so we reached out to our partner and co-founded Valor Global Online. It's valorglobalonline.org, and we just finished our second year. It's a Christian school online. We do it via Zoom. It's very interactive. It's not like, you know, the teacher sends an email and says, good luck, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks, child. No, they meet with their advocate every single day. The school is thriving. We're obviously, with everything going on right now, we've got tons of students, a ton more joining us in our third year next year. But, you know, we just had a heart for the children of today to make sure they're equipped with how to balance a checkbook, and who even uses a checkbook. Why not how to use online banking, how to build a business, healthy leadership mindsets. So anyway, we just want to make sure the kids are equipped today. And yes, it is fully accredited, Valor Global Online, and pretty special place, and love seeing kids thrive.
Awesome. So how can our audience follow you? Facebook, Instagram, how can they get connected with you?
Yeah, let's stay in touch. Well, if you're a friend of Leo and Rebecca's, you're a friend of mine, and I mean that. So on Instagram, I am the real Doug Wood, definitely not the fake one, because I'm going to keep it real. The real Doug Wood, and then same thing on Facebook. You can type in the real Doug Wood, or it's on there as Doug Wood as my follow page. And I love to connect with everybody, or really just add value. I love to connect, but I love to add value to my audience. And that's one thing that you'll find with me, is that you hang out with me, or, you know, I don't post a ton of stuff, but I do post things that are sometimes raw and real, and that will help improve anyone's life, because mine has been improved. And I feel like it's our duty to pass it on. The knowledge that we've been given, that God has either equipped us, or that we've learned with through real life circumstances, that we're to share it with the next person. And that's the point, obviously, of this podcast.
Yeah, and your podcast too is great. And can you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Yeah, it's interesting. I just crossed over my 50th episode too. It is The Real Doug Wood. Shocking, I know. But yeah, come on there. And man, I don't know, Leo, if I can really talk about my podcast on here, because I don't always mind my P's and Q's on my podcast. That started off a year ago as my place to have an outlet to really what's going on. And I do like to keep it real, but my Instagram and Facebook, I know my audience, I'm a little more PC, but the Real Doug Wood podcast, I go off on topics, relevant topics that I believe we all deal with, but seldom do we talk about. So T and I have lots of episodes on there. We talk about sex. We talk about money problems. We talk about giving and the blessing of giving, and also the beasts. We talk about our addictions. It's just like a keep it real podcast to just hopefully give a window into other people's life, that they're not alone, that we're all going through the real life. Just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean all your problems are going away. But I also talk about on there that just because you don't have any money, you can't say, well, money doesn't make you happy. Well, you know what? I think we all need to test it to find out if it's true or not. And you can't say it unless you've done it. So, you know, we talk a little bit about that too.
Well, no, I appreciate it, because I mean, you know, I'll just be straight up. I mean, you say a lot what I want to say, and I just don't have the guts to say it. So that's why I love your podcast so much, because you speak my love language. So.
Yeah. Because you have listened to that, and for the last 4.5 years, we made it intentional to surround ourselves with people like you and Doug and Tia that are going to pour into us to bring out the best in us. You know, when all the yuck begins to rise to the top, we can scrape it off and really shine the way God intends us to be, bolder and more confident in our gifts and abilities. So,
Rebecca, you're so right, because this world does not need more people being right. It needs more people standing for truth and standing for what's right, not to be right. And I just realized I had to get bold in not my beliefs, but in my values, and to let people know that it's okay to stand up for yourself. It's okay to stand up and say, you know what, dang it, I've been overweight all my life and I'm ready to change it. And I'm taking my power back. I'm, you know, getting healthy is selfish. It's a selfish thing to do, because you have to say no to a lot of people. Because when you start losing weight, people start going, oh, are you sick? You don't need to lose weight. You know what people are saying? What are people saying? Well, because what I'm saying is, I'm sick of being overweight. I'm sick of being on my high blood pressure medication. So what's wrong with a brother trying to lose some weight and get healthy? I'm tired of being called the big guy. Yeah. And you got to take your power back and get bold and say, gosh, dang it, I may have lived the first 50 years of my life this way, but I'm going to end the last 30 and change my paradigm. I'm going to change my future and start creating that. And I think this world needs more people to start standing up for righteousness and less about, you know, controlling or who's doing what. Just, you know what, start taking responsibility for yourself.
Yep, that's it. Taking responsibility in every area of your life, you know, from parenting, from your own personal walk, and from, you know, your health, just every single area, overall well-being. Yeah. And we appreciate you coming on here, Doug. It really means a lot. You took your time. So it really, really means a lot. We value your time a lot. Rebecca, do you have anything you want to say?
No, I'm so thankful for your friendship and your mentorship. And I love your family so much. Your mom, your sister, your wife, and your beautiful kids. They mean a lot to us.
So thank you. It's good to be here because, you know, I love partnering with World Changers. And, you know, it's so cool. And I'm sure your audience does, but, you know, the thousands of people that you guys are impacting every single day does not go unnoticed. And it's powerful what you guys have done for so many other people. So I just stop and say, I honor and respect you guys, because you guys are making a difference in thousands of people's lives daily. And I know your podcast goes, you know, obviously reaches a lot of places, your Facebook, your health, your stand, your love for God, and your book has went all over. And anyway, I just love you guys, and it's been cool being here.
Thank you, Doug. So, audience, man, if you could take a few moments to rate this episode, review it, share it. You can join our community on Facebook and Instagram, invite other people to come along.
Would you like to have Parents Initiative presented in your church, your organization, or maybe your virtual event? We would love to partner with you in bettering your community and creating an awareness in your homes, in your area.
Yeah, be sure to contact us through our website or social media pages. And all these links that will be provided for this episode will be in the show notes. Until next week.